So let's start fresh. Let's start with the first sugya, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph. We'll see where that takes us. And we'll see that sugya as it stands on its own. Machlokas HaRishonim. Beautiful insight of the Rav. And then once we have that in hand, I think we'll be able to circle back and appreciate a new aspect, a new facet of our Gemara and Daf Tess. Mishnah Lamed Beis Amud Aleph presents the Psul Shehiya. Chamesh Hilchos Shechita, one of them is Shehiya. Mishnah says, in the middle of the act of Shechita, the Shochet pauses for some reason or another. Nafla Sakin, Naflu Kalev, something dropped, the knife dropped, his scarf dropped, his yarmulke dropped, whatever it is. He was sharpening the knife. So as a result of the course of the Shechita, he was feeling a little faint and he had to pause. So the Mishnah says, Shehiya, is that a problem or not? So the Mishnah says, well, depends how long it is. If the Shehiya was long enough, the Mishnah says that Shehiya's mashu does not passel. The Mishnah says there is a shear for Shehiya. If the pause in the midst of the Maisa Shechita was brief enough, so the Shechita remains kasher. But if it's too lengthy, again, Machlokas HaTanoim, what the shear is, and Machlokas both in our Gemara, how to interpret the position of Reb Shimon, but the some shear or another, if the shear is long enough, then that passes the shechita. Just again, you have to hay hilchos shechita, it's not the only psul. If you, as we saw, if you have du derasa, if you, the act of shechita was a chop instead of a slice, that too passes the shechita. If the act of shechita was in the wrong spot, which is probably what hagrama is, that too is an improper shechita. And here the Mishnah says, shehiya passes if shehiya is of sufficient length. If the pause was long enough, again, our in-house shochet last week mentioned Ashkenazim, our machmer, even for a much shorter shehiya. We're concerned even with a very short shehiya, one of the Ramaz chumers in Hilchos Shechita. But strictly speaking, if shehiya is long enough, then it passes. If not, then it does not. So that's the Mishnah, the opening Mishnah, first Mishnah Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, the Psul Shehiya. Near the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, by Rav Huna, Breder of Nassan. So Rav Huna says the name of Rav Nassan, will Shaha right before the two dots. Right before the two dots, which are a couple lines before the second Mishnah. Shaha b'miyut simanu mahu. Let's say the fellow did Shehiya in a minority of the simanu. So is that a problem? Is that not a problem? Shaha b'miyut simanu. Is that still possible, like a regular Shehiya, or it doesn't? So the Gemara says, we're not sure what the answer is. It's a great question. Take a... That question is going to remain standing, and as a suffix on a daraisa, as Rashi points out, so the rule is suffix daraisa l'chumra. We're not sure whether that possible shechita or not, so we're going to consider that animal a nevela misafik. Yeah, question. Great question. What do you mean a meat of simanim? The Mishnah told us in Chav Ches Tov Aleph, I have to shecht the entire siman, or at least rova the siman. We could say ru kukula. So what do you mean meat of the simanim? I'm sure. I only shechted miyut simanim. Forget about shehiya. That's for sure an avela. I didn't do an act of shechita at all. So Rashi says, "Oh, you know what that means." Rashi right here, Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, shachad harov, v'shaha b'miyut ha'achron. What it means is, Rashi says, I did what the Rishonim coined the term shehiya b'miyut basra. I did a shehiya in advance of the last miyut. Basra means last, right? Kam means first, and basra means last, like bava kam, bava basra. So shehiya b'miyut ha'achron. I already shechted, we started putting this on the board yesterday. So imagine you're looking at a cross section of the animal, or a cross section of the bird, in the case of the geese. So here's the conus, the trachea, and here's the esophagus, the veshet. I think the conus tends to be more circular, and the veshet is a little more the esophagus, which is digestive, is a little more mushy, shall we say. So the shochet is going to, again, he's not doing derasa, he's not going to chop down from the top. But he's going to do a proper act of shechita slice, but slowly going back and forth, however many times it takes him, one or two passes, or three, it could take several times, holacha v'ava, back and forth, and he's working slowly cutting through more and more of the siman. So the Rashi says, look, the case is, he already cut through 70%, 80%, and then he stops. It's already mostly shachat. At this point, Shechita Ksheira, right? That's the Mishnah, opening Mishnah, the second parak. Rov Simanim is good enough. And then he stops over here. He cuts through most of the way, and then he stops. And then, 2 minutes later, he continues chaticha siman. He continues to cut the remainder of the kana and veshin. That's what Rashi says. Again, Rashi, lama beis amud alef, b'miut simanim, shochad harov v'shah b'mir hachrim. He shechted rov simanim properly. And then he took a pause. And then he comes back and cuts the rest. V'gomar shchitasman. After a pause, after a shir, that was a shir shahia, then he completes the shchita. So Rashi says, well, what's the shayla? Mahu. Mi amrinan. Kevin da'avad le ruba is kasher. Should I say, Yerei shechted before, at 3 o'clock I shechted 70%. And then I took a break. And at 3:05 I shechted the last 30%. Right, imagine that. Let's say this is 70%. Let's say this is the last 30%. This is the miut basra. So I shechted this part at 3 o'clock. And then I came back 5 minutes later and I shechted this at 3:05. So Shail is kasher, not kasher. That's what Rashi says. That's the Gemara. The Gemara Shail of Hunabar Breda of Nassan is asking the Shail. What's the question? So Rashi says, well, on the one hand, on the other hand, maybe it's kasher, maybe it's not. Why? What's the logic? Maybe it's kasher after all. Avad Leiruba is kasher. At 3 o'clock, it was already a kosher animal. The Fair Shavishna. Shachai Rob Sivanim. Done. Or no. Adilma Kevin Dahadar Vigamra Kula Chadash Chitahi. Sounds like, well, yes, it was kasher, but then you went back and you completed the shchita, so now you have a longer shchita that took 5 minutes, because you went back for a stage, you added a stage two to your shchita, with a shahiyah in the middle, a 5 minute break in between, a 5 minute pause in between stage one and stage two, so maybe it's a problem. So that's how Rashi presents it. If that is the case, that's Rashi's understanding. That's Peirush Rashi in the Ibaya. The Gemara in Ibaya, Gemara in Shaila. Rashi says, this is the case, Yushohei b'miyut basra. And the Shaila is, do I say, why does Shia matter? It was kasher without the second half. Or I say, no, well, Lamaisa, you did a second. If you wouldn't have done a second half, it would have been fine. But you did a last third, shall we say. And you had shechted two-thirds, then you went back and did the last third, that second segment. Now you made it possible. As a matter of fact, they have a riddle that Konigsberg quotes in the footnotes. He wrote over Rabbi Schechter's notes. I think it's Rabbi Schechter's notes on the Rav Shiram on Hilchos Shchita. Published it. It's available in the Batei Medrash for sale. The Rav Shiram on Yardea. So I think it's Simeon Zion. He presents this. Schechter likes to say over this shtickle, this sugya from the Rav. So he presents. He has in a footnote that Konigsberg has. There was a classic halachic riddle. When you have a case where you shechted the animal, and the whole animal is an avela except for one leg, which is kosher. Pretty strange. How's that possible? I shechted the animal, the whole animal is an avela, but one leg is kosher. Halachic riddle. So the classic answer is this. I shechted 70% simanim at 3 o'clock. And then we began to, and then we started to, we shechted the animal, 70%, shechita k'sheira. So then we start to dismember the animal, it took off a leg, and then the shochet comes back 5 minutes later and completes the shechita. So now, he passes everything else, but that one leg was already disconnected, so that one leg is, got away scot-free. So that, because after all, Rashi says, it's a suffix, whether shehiyah b'miyut basra is, kasher pasul, so, we have to be machmer. That's Rashi's approach. Again, the Ibaya, the Gemara's Ibaya, had been Shah b'miyot siman. Lambei zamal. And Rashi's drat is this. It's a suffix. That's clear in the Gemara, it's a suffix, and therefore, presumably, suffix. That's Rashi's approach. Eli Gober, question. So Eli Goldberg is basically, maybe we should call Yaakov Goldberg. Why should we call Yaakov Goldberg? Because you're Mechavan to the Kasha of Rabbeinu Yaakov, who we usually call by his nickname, Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe Shkoli Moshe Goldberg, because as we saw yesterday, let's take a peek again. The Rambam already presents the Mesek Lashono Kedarko. The Rambam rarely, every once in a long while, actually ask Kasha, have Kashas and Terutzim in the Mishnah Torah. Usually, if he explains it all, it's just a one-liner. And this is an example of one of those one-liners. Yeah, that was how we closed Shir yesterday. Where was it? Who remembers? Perek? Very good. You have the right letters? You have the right letters? Perek Gimel, Halacha Hei. Gevaldik, Hilcha Shlita. Perek Gimel, Halacha Hei. So the Rambam says, we'll take a look in the Tosis in a moment. The Rambam is brief and to the point. Hilcha Shlita, Perek Gimel, Halacha Hei, in the Mishnah Torah. Shachad, Rov Echad Ba'ov, or Rov Shayim, Vivehema. I shechted most of one of the two simanim, which is all you need by a bird. Or I shechted majority of each of the two simanim for an animal. That's what you need for an animal. If I took a break for even 8 hours, and then I come back for a very long shahiyah, or for 5 minutes, whatever it is. I did a shahiyah, then I came back and did chaticha simanim, gomar chaticha simanim. I complete note the change in language. He says, shachat. Rov simanim, and then you come back and you completed chaticha sa simanim. It doesn't call it a shita. It doesn't call the second piece of shita in the Rambam. Why? Because it's not a shita. Me'achar shenishchat ba'kishir, ha'reza kemechateich basar hashchuta. So this is totally fine. It's mutter. Shiyah b'mid basar is fine, the Rambam says. And we'll see in a moment, Tosa says at length as well. And the Rambam gives us very briefly the logic. He says, well, at 3 o'clock, you did a ma'aseh shita. So now the animal is mutter. Whatever happens 5 minutes later or 8 hours later, it's just now you're dismembering the animal. Now you're cutting the animal. It's not a shechita. And again, the Rambam's language, if those who have it in front of you, or you'll take a look later, the Rambam's language, even in expressing the case, is so meduyuk. He says, at 3 o'clock, you shechted the rov simanim. At 3:05 or at 7:05, you came back and completed chaticha siman, cutting the siman. Doesn't call it a shchita. That's no longer the operative verb. Shchita is done. Shchita happened when you cut rov siman. What happens later? Happens later. That's not shchita. Shchita is done. And, which again speaks to your kasha. And the truth is, the riddle also speaks to that kasha. Right? That's why the riddle strikes us as so strange. How could it be the rest of the animal became nevela? Subsequently, I don't know. At 3 o'clock, the animal was a. It was besar shchut, it was kosher meat. And we removed the leg, and we salted it, we grilled it, whatever it is. Kosher. We ate it. And then you come back an hour later, and you start, you complete the rest of the chaticha siman. Now you're completing the shchita, and there's an hour-long shahiyah. So Rami says, how could that be? The shchita's done. As a matter of fact, that's what Taisa says. We'll take the next question in a moment. You turn back to Daf, Laman Amid Beis. Just turn back one page. The long toast is hechelid. Toast says, how could it be? How could it be? So there the Gemara is talking about another situation. Chalada and b'miyot simanim. I did rove the sounds that sound like I did a mir of the siman. I did not with shahiyah, but with the psul of chalada. And I was coming from the wrong angle instead of coming from the top. You take a look. You see the ratosis has narrow lines and wide lines and very wide lines. So in the first wide lines, the narrow, the medium width lines. See they tell you the last narrow line, first wide line. Daf lamed beis amud alef. Shab miyot simanim de lakaman. Tosa says the next plot. My beis amalf was to shab miyot simanim. Refresh reyon tam b'miyot kama. It can't be b'miyot basra. What's the case? How is the Rambam ignoring the Gemara? How would Tosa ignore the Gemara? Did say there's a shaila by shab miyot simanim. Why is it Rashi's fault? It's the Gemara. The answer is no. How else could you understand the Gemara? Like this. Yisrael Tam is, and again,
esophagus.
He says, no, you cut the case. Tosa says, the shayla, it says, this case is pashat is mutter. Shia, the mir, it's basra.
That's how Rashi understood the case. That was the ibaya.
Tosa says, no. The ibaya was about shia, as you saw, the mir.
Kama, meaning, I shechted the first 20% at 3 o'clock.
Is it Nishrat yet? 20%? No. Now, you may, if you leave it that way, it may become a treifa, depending on how you cut it, or it may die. Either of those is obviously not going to render it bizarre, but it's never going to become kosher that way. But let's say it didn't. It survived. This is, let's be clear, it's not okay to the animal. It sounds like a pretty severe violation of Tzar Balei Chaim. No one is saying you're allowed to do lechatchila shehi b'mir kama. It's a nasty thing to do with the animal, to plan to do this. But it was done. Now you have to figure out the animal kosher. Or it was done by accident. And the fellow started the shechita and something happened. He collapsed. He fainted. Right? So we need to revive him. And then he comes back at 3:05. And he does... Now, if he comes back at 3:05, he does another 40%. So together they add up to 60%. Well, that's clearly Shahia, because you need both halves. But if he comes back and does the other, another 70 to 80%, so this, the second half alone, stands as a valid Shechita. So that, says Rabbi Yonatan, that was the Gemara Shaila. The Gemara Shaila was, I did a little bit at the beginning, stopped, and then I did Rove, afterwards. So that's an interesting shaila, because on the one hand, that I don't need the first little bit, but it clearly happened before the Maisa Shechita was done. So here, Rabbi Yonatan says, this is a good question. Here I really can have a question. Shehiya b'miyad kama, I did a little bit of Shechita, stopped, and did Rov Shechita. Oh, so that's a good shaila, because what's the difference between these two cases, Rabbi Yonatan says? What's the difference between these two cases? Rabbi Yonatan, the Rambam, and Eli Goldberg, we all say the difference is here when the Shehiyah happens at 3 o'clock, it's not yet Nishrat, it's not yet kosher, it's still pre Shechita. So it's still a, I would have, not as a pun, but it's the best way to say it, it's still a live question. The question of Shechita is still a relevant issue because the Shechita hasn't been completed yet. As a matter of fact, it may not even have started. That's the question. Did the Shechita even start? I did a miyat and I stopped. So maybe it's not even a Shehi, it's not even a Shechita, nothing happened, the whole Shechita happens later, says Rabbi Yonatan. Or no, maybe those two pieces together form the Shechita, and you have the Shehi in the middle. Oh, Shaila. So Rabbi Yonatan says, here, Shehi b'miyot kama is a valid question. I hear both sides. Because when the Shehi happens, what's so far been done is not yet a Shechita in its own right. But Tosa says, Rashi, we understand Rashi. What's the shaila? Not only it's a shaila, halach l'maisa, Rashi thinks we should be machmir because safek d'raisa l'chumra. How could that be? Shaila me at Basra. It seems so illogical. You open Shulchan Aruch. There's not in the Maror Makamos, but I suggest you take a peek. You open Shulchan Aruch, I believe it's Chaf Gimel. Simen's Chaf Gimel. Simen Chaf Gimel in Yaradei is the dinim of Shehiya, and here they tell you. Here they tell you that Shehiya b'miyut Basra is the problem. The Chaber says, look, there's a machlokas about this. Chav Gimel Sif A. Yesh mi sha'omer, machlokas. Rama says, yes, we should machmir. That's after Rama said in Sif Beis that even the tiniest drop of Shehiya, our minig is to sell to the non-kosher market. So what's going on? What's going on with Rashi? How are you supposed to understand Rashi?
How
do
you even consider
Shekhinah? How do you even consider Shekhinah? So, in order to understand Rashi, we've got to say two things. One of which Rashi is clear about. The other one is perhaps could be inspired by our sugya in Daftas. Number one, it's clear that Rashi thinks that both pieces are part of the Maisa Shita. That's clearly something that's being debated amongst the Rishonim. Right? The Rambam was very clear. The language of the Rambam was very clear. That once you did the Ruba Kama, so to speak, once you did the first 70-80%, the last 20% is nothing. I'm in Shita. I'm done with the Shita. So number one, Rashi is of the opinion that both halves constitute part of the Maisa Shechita. Even though, if I never would have come back and cut the last 30%, what happened at 3 o'clock would be the entire Maisa Shechita. Yes, that's true. That's true. And as Rashi says, if you never came back and did anything else, or if you just clunked it over the head subsequently, so then the only Shechita was right here, the first 70%. But being that you did decide to come back 5 minutes later and do a second Chaticha Simanim, Rashi says, that qualifies as also, you decided to add a second segment to your Shechita. Bad decision, because there's a Shehiyah in between. If you've done it 3 seconds later, it would be fine. If you did it 3 minutes, 3 hours later, you just added to, you just elongated your Shechita, and there's a Shehiyah in between. So ish point number one that Rashi is making, Rashi is making two assumptions. This is what the Rav points down, in the Shehiyah and the Shechita. Point number one is Rashi is assuming that if this fellow decides to come back and continue the Maisa Shechita after a break, that's considered to be a part of one big Maisa Shechita, which clearly the Rambam disagrees with. And then there's another point, which is, how do you understand the psul of Shehiyah? You see, if Shehiyah just means, the simple meaning of Shehiyah is there was a hefsek. The Halacha Moshe Sinai is telling me that if I want to do a Maaser Shechita, it has to be a single Maaser Shechita. Just like I can't have an esrog cut into slices and hold it all together, I need a single esrog, presumably. Right? Unlike schach can be cut into many different pieces. I don't need a single piece of schach carrying the whole sukkah. Matter of fact, Midrabanan, at least, we dafka don't want a single piece of schach. We want smaller, narrower pieces. Right? But an esrog, I need to have, presumably, or matzah. I don't have to have a single piece of matzah that I eat. I could break into little pieces and eat it. Right? I don't need a single chaticha or chepta of matzah. But esrog, presumably, you do. Right? Lulav, you do. I can't cut the lulav into pieces and then sort of like tape it all together and hold it. No, I need to have a single object, a single lulav. I need to have a single esrog. So, pashat pshat, the psul of Shehiyah is telling me that you have to have a single act of Shechita. And if you took too many, if you took a long break, you broke up your Maisa Shechita. So let's talk a case that everyone would agree is Shehiyah. Mekulyam apostle. All right? The fellow did the first 20% cut, and then he took a break. A Shehiyah. And then he caught another 40%. So altogether it was 65%. If you cut 65% straight, that's beautiful. But you took a break in the middle. That's a Shehiyah that passes according to everybody. That's not a Shaila. That's your classic case of Shehiyah. Nope. I don't think so. I don't think so. You need both halves. And then Tom is saying, you're showing the first half and then I did the rest, enough of the rest, that the second act was a rov in and of itself. There has to be a case of Shia that everyone agrees is possible. Right, this is Gemara just asking a complicated Shaila Shia b'miyat simanim. What Shia b'rov simanim? Presumably means this. I need both halves, and there's a Shia in between. Right, just doing the basic math. This is not advanced calculus. This is not group algebra. Right? I did 20%, 30%. I did another 30, 40%. The Shia in the middle. I clearly need both of these halves to constitute a Maaser Shechita. That's pretty clear, because neither one is a rov, but together they make a rov. And there's a Shehiyah in the middle. So I understand that Shehiyah in the middle. So Pashup Shat, Shehiyah means, is Halacha Moshe Sinai, that you need a single Maaser Shechita. That Shechita is like an esrog, Shechita is not like Schach. Right? I can't do multiple maase shechita and together they add up. I could do multiple maase achila. I could eat a little bit of matzah, another little bit of matzah, another little bit of matzah over the course of a kedei achilas pras, and it all hangs together. And if it's too much of a break, not. But I could do multiple maase achila. So Shehiyah is telling me you can't have a hefsek, you have to have a single maase shechita, or again a short enough break that they're mitzuruf together. But if there's too long a break, they're not mitzuruf to one another, that's puzzle. That's the simple understanding of Shehiyah. But who rejects that? Which Rishon clearly rejects that? Which Rishon clearly rejects this, understanding that Shehiyah is just a question of a hefsek, a lack of tziruf? Rashi. Right? Because if that were the case, so then what do I, if all it is a lack of tziruf, so what do I care? This is a lack of tziruf. I did a kashur shita, and then there was another act later that wasn't mitzar mitzuruf to the first one. So what? The first approach, yesh lachar, what's pshat and shia? The first simplest approach is that shia is just a statement by the halacha that I need a single act of shita. Okay. So it's not, it's just a question, it has to be kosher. It's not a new posel. It's not poison. Shia isn't poisoning it. It's not being pogame. It's not posseling. It's just a lack of tziruf. There'd be a lack of a shechita kshera. But in that case, if I did a kosher shechita, and then there's a lack of tziruf to the next act, who cares? Rashi clearly holds, not only, as the other Rishonim are highlighting, Rashi understands that both halves, if I choose to do a second piece, both segments are part of the Maase Shechita, but also that Shehiyah is more than just they're separate. But so Shehiyah is just a statement that they are separate, that they're not Mitzuruf, so that would be a problem in a classic Shehiyah case where I need the two to be Mitzuruf. I need the 20% and the 4% to add up to 60. Okay, so if Shehiyah says Hafsik makes them not Mitzuruf, so in that case, this classic situation, it's a problem because they're not adding up. But here I don't need them to add up. So what Rashi is understanding, not only that the second half becomes part of the Shechita, should I choose to do it, but that Shehiyah is more than just a lack of Hechsher, it's an active posel. It's not just that they're not Mitzuruf, it actually is a problem, it's poison. Shehiyah is a new issue. It poisoned the Shechita. That's a new rule. Just like if I shecht from the side, if I shecht from down below, if I chop, that's poisoning the shechita. That's a posel. Shehiyah also, according to Rashi, it's not just a lack of hechsher, a lack of tziruf. Tziruf means connection. It's a posel. So Rashi would say, even though the shechita was already kosher, it was beautiful, you shechted at 70%, quit while you're ahead. But no, you went ahead and now you did what? You stopped. Well, what does stopping mean? Is stopping you're done or stopping you're pausing? If stopping is you're done, great. But pausing is poison. Pausing is not just a lack of tzira for Rashi. The nature of the psul shehiyah is actually puzzles. And therefore, if you subsequently, more than a kedei shehiyah, came back and continued shechita, Rashi says, no, when I call that a continuation of shechita, unlike the Ramban ben Tam, and I would therefore say that the fact that 5 minutes later, you continue shechita, that just redefined the last 5 minutes. The 5 minutes of inactivity from 3 to 305, we thought that was, you're done. That's post-shechita rest. But now we realize, because you, at 305, continue the Maase Shechita, that wasn't done, that was a pause. That was a pause in the middle of a longer Maase Shechita. Pause. I'm sorry? Oh, so Rashi says that that's what this Gemara, Rashi says that's what this Gemara was clearing about. Because Rashi understands that I can call that a continuation of Shechita by dint of what? By dint of the fact that that's my intention, and by dint of the fact that what I'm doing is otherwise a kosher act of Shechita. As Rashi said, if you come along and knock the animal over the head, that's not continuation of my Shechita, that's not Shechita at all. But if I come back and continue to cut simanim, so that's a ma'aseh shechita. And again, Rashi is working the two assumptions. Again, as Eli pointed out, it's surprising. It's an incredible chiddush. But Rashi understands that if you come back later, that constitutes a continuation of ma'aseh shechita, unlike in the language of the Rambam and the approach of Yonatan. And that the pause in between is not just a lack of tzir, it's actually an active posel. And just to highlight this, that riddle with which we began, right? How do you have a case, right, where the leg is kosher, the rest of the animal is possum? The rest of the animal is nevela. So classically we say, it's shia b'miyad basra l'fi Rashi. But it's not true according to Rav. Because it's not just the... When you begin kind of get 305, it turns out now, not just that from this point and on it's the pasul l'shchita. You just made it clear that the last 5 minutes were a pause, which pasul the entire shchita. We didn't realize that this was a shchita psula. We thought it was a shchita ksheira. It looked like it was kosher. But now that you come back at 305 and keep cutting, kum tuchais, comes out. Those whose Yiddish is a little rusty. When you come back and continue cutting at 305, it turns out that you actually have been pausing for the last 5 minutes. You just retroactively redefine the nature of the last 5 minutes. And therefore, retroactively, lemafreya, retroactively, possible the entire shchita going back to 3 o'clock. Because it's a shchita with a psul, not a psul of derasa, it's a shchita with a psul of shehiyah. Because again, Rashi holds that shehiyah is a posel, not just a lack of heksher, not just a lack of tzira. It's actually a posel. Oh! So it turns out that the whole shchita was no good. We didn't realize it. We thought it was a shchita ksheira. But in fact, it's not. If you take a look, it appears to be not only the debate between Rashi versus Rabbeinu Tam de Rambam, but the language of the Ran, a number of Sfarim point out. The language of the Rashba versus the language of the Ran. On Daf Chaf, Amud Aleph. The sugya there is trying to figure out, you know, most of the time, both for animals and for birds, you do a shita. And that's the only way to make the meat kosher. That's the Mishnah Chavtes. That's true for animals and birds outside the Beis HaMikdash, and it's true for animals inside the Beis HaMikdash. Animals in the Beis HaMikdash, you bring a behema as a carbon, a shor, kesef, or eid, you have to do a same type of shita. But as you know, the Tzukim tell us, when it comes to a bird, all of a sudden you don't do a shchita if it's a carbon. If it's a carbon, you cannot do a shchita, and say you have to do something very different, malika, where you're puncturing with your thumbnail from the back of the neck of the bird. It's in many ways the opposite of shchita. It sounds like it's most definitely a drasa. It's direct pressure, it's a chop, and it's from the back of the neck. It's totally different. So the Gemara Daf Chav is trying to figure out, are there any similar, are there any dinam of shita that carry over? Clearly some of the dinam of shita do not carry over to malika, by definition. Does anything carry over? Does anything carry over? So what's interesting is there's a machlokes, contemporaries, Rashba and Ra'ah. Ra'ah and the Rashba are two of the prime Talmidim of the Rambam, and they have many, many, many machlokes. And the Rashba wrote a sefer, Allah, we already mentioned a little bit, Taurus Habayis, which is mostly on Kashrus and Hilchos Nida and a little bit on Tefillah Sitnai and a few other things. That was one of the Rajma's Torahs de force. And the Ra'ah, he wrote Torah Sabayis, Halachas of the House. His Rebbe, the Ramban, wrote Torah Sa'adam, Halachas of Death and Dying, Medical Malpractice, and Bikur Cholim, and Kriya, and Kavura, and Avelus, Pikuach Nefesh, or Avelus for the Churban as well. And he ends with a philosophical approach to suffering. That's the Ramban's Torah Sa'adam, the Torah of the man, a person in health and sickness and in disease. And his Talmud, the Rashba, wrote Torah Sabayis, Halachas of the House, Kashrus, Taras Mishpacha. The Rashba's contemporary, the Ra'ah, wrote the running commentary, critique, Asagas called Berak Habayis. The Rashba's writing the Torah of the House, he says, oh, there are cracks in the house, Berak Habayis. And then someone wrote a counter critique. It's not clear whether it's the Rashba himself or someone else, it's anonymous, called the Mishmeres Habayis, defending the house against the critique of the Ra'ah pointing all the cracks in the house, the Mishmeres Habayis says, no, the house is okay. There's some debate as to whether it's the Rashba himself defending himself or it's someone else.
sometimes the Mishmer Zabayis doesn't line up with the Torah Zabayis, or Rashba Zabayis. Whatever it is, Macholkas Rashba Ra'ah, it's a very classic, Macholkas Rashba Ra'ah is a very classic formulation, very classic phenomenon, particularly in the era in Yoredeya. And here we actually have it, in the not in the Torah Zabayis, in the Chidushim. In the Chidushim. Because the Chidusha Ran quotes the Ra'ah, who says, has the line Shehiya Mechalakas, that Shehiya divides the act of Malika into two separate parts. That's the logic of the Rov Rishonim here. That's the logic of Rav Tam, and the presumably of Rav Tam and the Rambam, that Shehiya doesn't make it actively possible, it just breaks the separate acts into independent acts that don't fuse together into one. It's a lack of tziruf. Shehiyah, Ran Mamash gives words directly to that lumdus. You read the Rashba slowly and carefully, he appears to disagree with the Ra'ah. So again, this Chakira, what's the nature of Shehiyah? Is the Psul Shehiyah just a statement that you need a single act of Shehiyah, and Shehiyah of long enough is a hapsik, a lack of tziruf? The pieces don't fuse together into one, and you need a single act of Shechita. Shechita is like an Esreg rather than like Sach. One approach, the smaller approach to Shia, the less Mechurishdik approach to Shia, the approach of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, presumably, and explicitly of the Ra'ah, quoted by the Chiddush Aran. Or you have the more robust, more radical approach to Shehiyah, and that's what Rashi is saying, and perhaps so the Rashba is assuming as well in Daf Chaf, in his disagreement with the Ra'ah, that no, she isn't just a lack of tziruf, she is actually a posel, which is why it could even work on the Mi'as Basra, which is why it would probably even work l'mafreya against the classic halachic riddle. And the truth is, once you have this approach to Rashi, even Rashi would say that one leg is also a problem, because l'mafrei, the whole Shechita was possible. Now we know that the Shechita was possible. How is it possible? I did 70% totally fine. Yes, but then it was subsequently poisoned by appending a pause to it. So it's not just that she means the next piece doesn't connect to the first piece. It's actually an active posel, an active pogan. And finally, and then we'll take some questions, and finally we wrap back to our sugya. Now that we have much greater clarity that there seems to be a major machlokas rishonim, again about two points, explicitly, because Rashi made two assumptions. Rambam is explicitly debating Rashi in terms of is that miyut basra considered to be part of ma'aser shechita or not, and Rashi is making a second assumption which is explicitly debated by the Ra'ah, and probably also debated by Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam, namely that Shehiyah is not merely a lack of tziruf, it's not just mechalekes, but it's actually a posel. That, Rabosai, that chakira, that second point in Rashi, that chakira of the nature of Shehiyah, that is our Gemara. Or more precisely, that's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky saw peeking out in terms of how you would read our Gemara. He had pointed out there are two ways of reading our Gemara. Right? Again, the Mishnah right, talks about two shitas in terms of the shear of Shehiyah. How long does she have to be to pass? So again, Raman Simon Chav Gimel says, Minig Ashkenazes were matra for any Shehiyah. But Mikra Adin, there's a shear. What's the shear? So the Mishnah right, presented Lam Bey's Machlokas Chacham and Reb Shimon. Is it Shah Kedei, what was the language? Whether it's Shah Kedei Shechita or Shah Kedei Bikur. Rabbi Yochanan Lamed Beis had said that means kedei bikur shel chacham bikur asakin, and Rabbi Yosef had suggested on Daf Taz maybe another way to read Rabbi Shimon is kedei bedika simanim, which is required. And you remember that we've been hunting the last two shiur. Maybe you're wondering then why we've been so involved or how to fit together the finer points of the Shakavataria. It's relevant not only to understand the Shakavataria, but also because there's a much larger issue at play, I think. Where all these shurim come from? That was the issue that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had raised. Where did the shurim come from? Can you pull that hat? Where did shurim come from? So he had pointed out, well, there are two ways of looking at these shurim. The second way is just say, Halacha Moshe Sinai. Gemara, he didn't quote the Gemara, but presume that's what he had in mind. Gemara in Erevin, Gemara in Sukkah that we saw. Shiur in a Halacha Moshe Sinai. Especially here, the whole din of Shehiya is Halacha Moshe Sinai. Kasher Tzivi Sicha. Right? So, like most other Shiur, Halacha Moshe Sinai, just that's the way it is. Or again, he had pointed out, when you read the Shakva Tar of our Gemara, and Rav Yosef was trying to bring Rav Shimon as a raya that there's a need for Bika Simanim, Rav Yaakov pointed out, it's a little bit, I can work it either way, but it's a little bit smoother in our Gemara to say that the sheer Kidei Bikur would have been a raya to the, not just the existence of, but the requirement of Bika Simanim, that would have been, that would be a little smoother if you say that it's not just that, that's what the shir happens to be, Halacha Moshe Sinai, but there's a reason for it. Maybe that's the shir, because those are the natural rules of Hefsek. Chachamim sound very much like the natural rules of Hefsek. Shah Kedei Shechita sounds like the Gemara we saw in Brachas. Shah Kedei Lo Gemara is Kula. That Gemara is Midrabanan. Those Gemaras are likely Dinim Drabanan. Here we're talking about Din Daraisa. Okay, maybe this is the Makar, perhaps. And maybe it's also Daraisa, it's in a Kriyashma context, right? So again, the Chachamim Shir of Shia sounds a lot like classic Kol Torah Kula, like global rules of Hefsek and Tziruf. There was a Shehiya, if you're Shagat the Gemara's Kula, then the two pieces are no longer connected. It's not a single act of Kriyashma. Or, it's not a single act of Shechita. And even Reb Shimon, the two versions of Reb Shimon, sound a lot like the din from later in Maseches Brachas. Right? The fellow asks for the salt, the fellow asks for the knife. It's not a hefsek if it's something that's relevant to what's going on. I walk over in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, I walk over to the Sarim Shrank to check in the Mishnah Berurah, check in the Chayadam, check in the Kitzer, well, I forgot Saint Tamat Levrecha, and now I'm up to Modim. Do I go back to Shemaya Tvila? Do I go back to Baruch Haleinu? Do I say Nil Kainat Tsar? What do I do? And I remember, go look it up in the Sefer. Right? In middle of Shemaneh Esrei, yeah, it's not a Hatzik because it's a Tzorach HaBracha. It's relevant. This is what the Bracha needs. Right? So, this din of said the different approaches to Reb Shimon sound a lot, perhaps, like that. Oh, the amount of time that you would take to do the things that are necessary for the Shechita, that's not a hefsek. So again, we had spent some time looking at our Gemara Daf test and trying to figure out, is the Gemara indicating that these Shiurim were just natural dinim of hefsek? And the reason why Yosef thought that if Kidei Bikur means Bikur Simanim, it's a proof not only that there exists such a concept that it's necessary, but oh, if it's necessary, it's not a hefsek. But what underlies all of that thinking, that the shiurim of Shehiyah are natural and they're driven by the general Kol Torah Kula rules of Hefsek, either they mamash the same or at least related, that all flows from the non-Rashi approach. That Shehiyah is merely a lack of Hefsek, it's a Hefsek, it's a lack of Tziruf. As the Ra'ah said explicitly, Shehiyah Mechalakis. The Shehiyah divides into two separate pieces, and that's a problem because the din, the halach of Shehiyah tells me that you need a single act of Shechita. So that's Ra'ah is explicit about, and that may well be what the Rambam and Ben Tam held as well. So if you take that approach, that Shehiyah is merely lack of Tziruf, then the Gemara, our Gemara and Daf Tes is super smooth. No pun intended. But our Gemara and Daf Tes is super smooth because, yeah, this is a general din of Hefsek, so we're going to apply rules of Hefsek. Whatever is a Tzorech, Shachim, or Kula, or Tzorech HaSuda, or in this case, Tzorech HaShechita, if Simanim are Tzorech HaShechita, so then the Kedei Biker Simanim is not going to be a Hefsek. Ah. But then we had said last night, Rabbi Yaakov said, okay, you don't have to say this. Rabbi Yaakov said, it could also be, no, these Shiurim are merely Halacha Moshe Sinai, not related to anything, it's just the rule, it's just the way it is, like Kazayas, like Kibetza, that's the Shiur, Halacha Moshe Sinai. I had to deal with the flow in our Gemara, so we had spent time talking about. Yaakov said, it's not so, the Shaka Vitar is not so intractable. You can say, well, what did Rav Yosef think was the Raya? Stam, it's just a Shiur, X number of seconds, and it happens to be described as Kedei Bikur, why would that be a rye that you need Bikur? So Rabbi Yaakov said, okay, but maybe I can say, anyways, there's Havmi with Nitra. Back in the following explanation, what the Havmina was, he says, I can say, and again, the Ritva will sometimes say, well, Havmina is Nidcha, we don't have to feel so Mechuyiv to defend the Havmina. It's a comment that the Ritva makes from time to time. Question of Havmina algae, how much you have to invest in Havminas. But Yaakov says, I can explain the Havmina. The Havmina was that if we're using this as a way of explaining to Shochtim what the period of time is, it must be this is very familiar. It must be everyone is doing Bidika Siman. Again, not quite as smooth as the first approach, of saying this mamish, mikra din, because of hefsek, and this is tzorach, and that's why that's the shiur hefsek. The second approach is saying, the shiurim are just kacha, halacha moshe misinai. That's going to happen. Now, why would I want to say that second approach? Again, it's a little less smooth than the Gemara. For Rashi, it's going to be necessary, because the first approach that Yaakov had suggested, that the shiurim of the different shiurim of Shehi are all rooted in the dinim of Hefsek, that only works if this is a din of Hefsek. If you understand that Shehi is merely a question of Hefsek, so then, okay, so this is like Hefsek by Kriyashma, Hefsek by Shechita. Fine, so we can talk about the same Shohag Ezmer Skula, Kedei, Bikur, it could fit those rules of Gemaras and Brachas and so forth. But if you say like Rashi, that the Shehi apparently is much more than that. Because again, as Eliyahu pointed out, if you want, as the Rambam has been clear, subtly, and Tosfos have been explicitly clear, in order to say, again, we come back to the end where we started, Rashi is, on the face of it, very illogical. We look at Rashi and we're astounded, we're confounded. What does Rashi mean? It was already kosher, and now it's puzzle. Which again, that's the kasha we showed him at. What's Rashi saying? So the answer the Rabban said is, well, nobody's assuming that the last bit of the Shechita is called part of the Maaseh Shechita. And, critically, Shehiya for Rashi is a davar haposel. It's not merely a lack of tzir. Oh, so this is like just a rule. It's just a new rule. Nothing to do with Hefsek. It's just a new rule. It's not the same as Hefsek in creation. It's not the same as Hefsek between a bracha and eating. It's not the same as a Hefsek in the middle of tekiyas. No, it's not happening. This is a rule. Shehi apostles. Why would that even make sense? So I can explain why Shehi is a davar haposel. I don't know if I even need to. It's a davar haposel. It's halacha moshe misinai. I don't need to explain. I don't have to give rationale for why. But if I wanted to, I would say it's not merely a question of a lack of tziruf. I can understand well why Shehi is a davar haposel. Shehi is very painful. That's very painful for the animal. Mil ma'aser shechita, you're going to stop. Just like derasa is much more painful than a proper ma'aser shechita, from a physiological perspective. To stop in the middle, the shehiya, I understand why, if you understand that some of the rules of shechita have to do with tzar bal chayim, that's a larger debate. But again, just on a level of time and decorum, the philosophy of halacha, what's the rationale for the din? I would understand very well saying that this is more than just hefsek. This is painful. So I understand saying she is just a din of hefsek, and you get maisa matzurif, or you can say, no, she is actually a davar haposel. It's like doing derasa. Bang! That poisoned the shechita. And once that's a din, so then once that's the way the halachas dinim are set up, so then it's going to apostle, potentially, Rashi says, even once, if you would have stopped now, you would have been fine, but once Shehiyah is on the books as a davar haposel, it could potentially apostle even b'miyut basra. And again, that means it's going to retroactively apostle. So what do we have to recap? A classic machlokas or rishonim, Rashi against most other rishonim, about Shehiyah b'miyut basra, which is really a machlokas in halacha, but it begins with the machlokas, how to read the Gemara Lama Beis. The Gemara has some ibaya, Shehiyah b'miyut simanim, and that was the Gemara. Machlokas Rashi versus other Rishon, another one, how to say pshat in the Gemara, how you translate those words, which is also both Machlokas Lahalacha and Machlokas in Lamdas. Machlokas Lahalacha, Shehi B'miyad Basra, does it possible or not? According to Rashi, that's the Gemara Safik, and Shehi B'miyad Basra is possible, Sefik Dereis L'Chumra. According to other Rishonim, the Gemara never spoke about it, that's for sure Kasher. And this Machlokas and how to read the Gemara, Perish HaGemara, not only Machlokas Lahalachas, there's also machlokas in lamdas, in one or both points. Because Rashi is making two assumptions. One assumption Rashi made was that the second segment, even though it's in Miyad Basra, is considered to be a Maisa Shechita, and, more to the point, that the Shehiyah that comes between the first 70% and the last 30% is not merely a lack of Tzir, it's actually a Davar HaPogim, Davar HaPosel, which speaks to this core Chakira about what is Shehiyah merely a lack of Tzir, or is Shehiyah actually Davar HaPosel, relevant to Shehiyah of Miyad Basra, relevant Rashba Ra'ah, to whether Shehiyah carries over to, should I assume that Shehiyah carries over to Malika or not? And if so, how? The Ra'ah's language that Shehiyah is Michalekes. And it impacts the third nafkin of that Chakira, in addition to Shehiyah b'Miyad Basra, whether it could be even be a Shaila. In addition to Rashba Ra'ah and Daf Chaf, about whether or not how Shehiyah should carry over to Malika, is just a natural dinner hefsek. Okay, so relevant there too. Or maybe it's a new Davar HaPosel, in which case we got to figure out does it apply to Malika or not. And finally, number three, is going to impact how you read our Gemara. If you take the non Rashi approach, the Ra'ah approach, that Shehiyah is merely a din of hefsek, so then you could read the Gemara of Yaakov's first approach. If you take Rashi's approach, that Shehiyah is Davar HaPosel, it's not a hefsek, maybe Tzar Bal Chaim or however you understand it is Alchemosh Sinai, however you understand it, Tzar Bal Chaim or otherwise, so then this has nothing to do with Sugyas and Brachas and Rosh Hashanah, but Hafsik is a totally new din, and it is entirely Alchemosh Sinai, and that is Rabbi Yaakov's second approach in our Gemara, and so we see that Rabbi Yaakov on Daftes and the Rav and Lama Beis actually work remarkably well together.